writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
The Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. If this mic goes careening into my face, if you're watching on War Chant TV, enjoy it. Have fun with it. We are dealing with
That was incredible. That was fun to watch. It was like, I don't know,
a pit
Richard
crew?
Petty.
Richard
Petty rolling in.
Yeah.
And I mean, but the pit crew, like, busting a tire, flipping the hood up, like, doing all this stuff that wasn't working. But now you got it. Looks like it's good to go.
I think we're going to be okay.
Extended it until the next
break.
That was panic mode.
Yeah, we've got issues here. Welcome in, everybody. Good to be with you. And let's begin by saying thanks to our friends at Register Sausage. Yay, sausage, obviously.
A little pity sausage this past weekend.
Maybe more pity sausage on the way, buddy.
Yeah,
we'll see if we can get some people back in the fold here.
Or some tasty victory sausage.
There's nothing
better than rivalry victory sausage.
Oh, it's the best kind of, it's the best moment. Right
that's
there.
Your andouille. That's when you go with the andouille is when you beat a rival.
That's a celebratory moment.
I was at my local grocery store the other night, the one with the case that just keeps going of Register sausage up near Killarn on Thomas Ford Road. And there was a gentleman and his son. And he was looking at the case, and literally, people take the SAT or the LSAT. People taking the LSAT don't mull over decisions like this guy was debating between the different sausages. It's like, and
I read that somewhere. What is the answer?
I wanted to go over to him and say, dude, just go
grab them all.
They're all good. That's the right answer.
Yeah, they're all good.
Grab them all.
But yeah, if you live in the North Florida, Central Florida, over to Alabama and South Georgia, go to your local grocery store, get Register sausage, and they've got all the different varieties, as my man in the local store would tell you. If you live outside of the area, unless you're in Alaska, registermeats.com is the website. They will ship it to you in a cooler with ice. It'll be fresh and delicious.
Double check the audio, Director Matthew. We're hearing that some folks cannot quite hear the show, so I don't know what is happening, but it's understandable. We've had a panicky moment here. We've got some strange things going on. Hopefully we'll unhit the mute button. I don't know where Matthew is. He's probably running around looking
trying to find that screwdriver.
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody can hear us.
Hear anybody?
They can hear us on the radio. They can't hear us on War Chant TV. We're trying to get that fixed right now. Got it, guys. Got it. We're letting you know. We
get in on the chat and tell them that the audio is not
working. Trying to conduct the show, though, Corey, here.
I got you. You
can reach over to that keyboard and type in.
Yeah, you're right. I'll do that right now.
We're going to fix the YouTube problem when we get a moment. But in the interim, we'll soldier on. All right, so they did lose this past week. Do we want to start there, or do we want to just go ahead and look ahead to Miami?
I'm fine looking ahead, but I'm certainly fine looking ahead. But if we, if we want to revisit, what do you think, Corey? Is there any more meat on that bone?
I was with you, by the way, both of you. I watched your post-game reaction. I thought... First of all, I was surprisingly calm. I wasn't angry about anything.
What's there to be angry about?
Well, there's nothing to be angry about. I mean, I think it was a foregone conclusion the second you found out that Jordan Travis was going to play. You were pretty well
done. I really regret not betting on that.
Am I allowed
to do that? I probably shouldn't say that on a team I cover, but when you know Jordan Travis isn't going to play and the spread's only 3, that seemed like
two and a half
easy money.
I took NC State. I would have taken NC State with Jordan Travis playing.
Well, I know you would have.
But the point is, that's not a shot at Jordan. I'm saying I think NC State's just better than Florida State on a lot of levels. Now, I might have lost that bet if Jordan had played. Unfortunately, that's what it looks like. It could have happened.
Right.
Because NC State, they're going to Dave Doran. That's
do you want me to go in there and try to hit a button?
There's nothing you can do.
Matthew's in there.
He is?
Yeah, he's trying to fix it, buddy.
I didn't even see him in there.
He's trying to fix it.
My fault.
So he's trying to figure out why we don't have audio in the YouTube chat right now, but we'll get it fixed.
Okay.
Anyhow, back to this. The bottom line is...
What would you do if you went over there?
I'd just start hitting buttons.
I was going to say, what are you going to do?
I'd look for a mute button and see if it's hit, and I would unhit it.
That would work.
Yeah.
They're seeing in the chat. This is how I watch games sometimes. Just hit mute, watch the game. Yeah, that's true. So it is that I was not angry. The game happened. I was surprised to see how much vitriol there really was after that game. I really think it's because there was a moment where hope was provided.
Right.
And I think that if you're actually doing that good a job to give yourself a chance to win a game that you ought not win, and that you looked absolutely impotent in for an entire half, and then all of a sudden you dangle a carrot of hope and say, no, you might win, and people's reaction to it. It's like over the years, there have been plenty of times that Mike Martin didn't get the most maybe out of his team, right? And they lost sooner than they should have. there were many more years where he got teams to the Super Regional, right, the College World Series, where they shouldn't have been there. And then once you're there and you don't win it, then it's seen as a failure every time, even if you had no business being there, right? Well, like, if your team overcame something to get there.
Right.
And so,
and to me, the biggest thing, like, a lot of people have made the comment about, yeah, okay, so you had an illness. That doesn't mean your season's over. I mean, NC State had some guys out with injuries as well, particularly on defense. Yeah, that's the difference is Florida State is a team that had no margin for error. We knew that coming into the season. They don't have a lot of depth on the offensive line.
None.
They don't have a lot of depth at quarterback. Certainly not a lot of quality depth at quarterback.
None.
They don't have a lot of depth and quality at receivers. So you start taking players out of that unit, it's different because they're in year two of a rebuild where they totally flipped the roster compared to NC State, where Dave Doran's been there. They've recruited. They've had you get 85 scholarship players for a reason, because if you do lose a few guys, you usually can withstand it. Florida State's not at that place. They're at the beginning of this rebuild where they're trying to piece together a roster. So
yeah, continuity matters, man. So, we see it all the time.
Yeah. So to me, I mean, it's a, you know, a flu would be a problem for any team, but particularly a team like Florida State, where they are right now in terms of depth. That doesn't excuse some of the, you know, mistakes. It doesn't excuse
poor decisions. Well, it doesn't mean that they're above reproach, but I mean, I can point out that it's a 7-point game in the fourth quarter. Right. It's kind of a minor miracle. I thought Florida State was going to get blown out.
I think the thing that when I think about that game and really the last two games and moving forward into the rest of this season and next season is, they're not beyond reproach. Like, they have made some mistakes. I think we can all of us say Chubba Purdy and Tate Rodemaker were either not evaluated well, not developed well, or both.
Well, it's pretty early. They've only been here for a year and a half, and 1 year was a COVID year.
Well, I mean, but you do see other quarterbacks that are their age playing, and either one of them could beat out a one-legged kid that can't throw. So, you know, I mean, at some point.
So they're done, so they were misevaluated. Because they haven't played well.
Two different situations.
That's ridiculous, man. You can't say that about a quarterback 16, 18 months into their time.
I feel like the fact that Rodemaker can't beat out McKenzie Milton means Rodemaker probably shouldn't be on the roster.
It also means Rodemaker's been working with the scout team all season. So I don't know that you just go from scout team all season to running the offense.
Well, okay, we'll figure out a way to score more than plan.
Hold on. We're going down this path again. I think they're separate situations. Chuba is not misevaluated. His time here began disastrously. He gets hurt within
He missed almost all of last year.
Everything. And then he has a setback after the surgery, and he leaves the team. He misses all of spring. He's not even been here. So I don't know that he's misevaluated. That just started poorly, and it obviously, I think, influenced his decision. I think at that point he's probably frustrated, no doubt. And then you get to a place where he realizes, well, man, I'm not going to beat Jordan Travis out. They're bringing in another kid. Screw it. I'm starting over. And I don't blame him for that. Fine. That's fine. You might be right about
Tate. Could have used them this past week.
Could have, but that's, I mean, look, man decided to leave. What do you do?
Yeah, no, I know, but I feel like he left because he knew he wasn't going to beat out McKenzie Milton, which says more about Chubba Purdy than it does McKenzie Milton.
That is correct, but we don't know what happened. I mean, there were rumors that he left immediately following the Clemson game and was not back here to even compete.
I think they also, it's the reality of college football now. Kids want to get in the market. Other quarterbacks are getting in the market. They want to be in the market so that everybody knows they can start having those conversations. As long as they're not in the portal, yeah, you can do some backdoor stuff, but you can't really
good grief,
be recruited and have the conversations you want to have, take visits to schools. You know, and he's going to want to be wherever he's going to be by January. That's what I think stinks about this system. We haven't seen that like this. This year is different, where kids are going to the portal with a month to go because they want to get on the market.
Well, and Rodemaker may not work out. I think that kid has ability.
He definitely does.
Something's happened. I don't know. When he's had opportunities, he can't pull the trigger. That's why he was getting yelled at in that spring game, is he would not throw the ball.
Right.
But it could come around. It could come around.
That was April. I mean, we're in November now. Like, that's 7 months later. You would think he would be a better option than a one-legged quarterback.
You would think, but apparently
Months later, apparently and not. He was here last spring. I mean, I know it was 3 days, but he's been here on campus for – whatever, 20 months?
Yeah.
And he can't beat out a one-legged quarterback that can't throw.
But again, man, so you're saying that's a missed evaluation. You're saying that...
Well, they are allowed to happen. I mean, you bring in quarterbacks
they are, but it's a little ridiculous to judge that after a COVID year and then part of one season.
Well, he's not as good as McKenzie Milton right now.
Okay, so what does that mean? Does that mean he can never play at Florida State?
My idea is, yeah, probably.
Okay, well,
I mean, I might be wrong, but I don't think that they think Tate Rodemaker is a part of their future plans.
How do you know that?
Because they I just do. I mean, they wouldn't have brought in McKenzie Milton. They're going to bring in somebody else.
It was a one-year guy. I mean, they thought
they're bringing in. Sorry, they're bringing in AJ Duffy. I mean, Tate Rodemaker's not going to probably start.
They got to sign quarterbacks.
Yeah, and you have depth. At the end of the day, I mean, you do sign a lot of guys. Not all of them are going to start. Not all of them are misevaluated. We'll see. Look, Tate is not where I'd like him to be right now.
So a year ago, you were thinking Kalen DeLoach is a miss. Can't ever play. He starts at linebacker for him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He's good. He's not good. He's their best. He's the best they got.
I think what we're getting at, and losses bring about the frustration.
But he didn't lose his job out to one-legged Emmett Rice. That's all.
Hold on. Losses bring out the frustration, obviously. And when I watch this roster, and I go back to the beginning of the year, I said this, and I'm right, but I'm wrong about a lot, too. I admit that. When we were watching practices, and you've seen them all, where's the talent? Remember that. We said that. Where is the talent? They don't have talent. I remember being blunt about it, saying, I really just don't see anybody who can play. Now, that's probably an oversimplification, but I meant by Florida State standards, by a standard.
There's not a lot of difference makers.
No, virtually none.
Well, that's what's frustrating when watching this team is like, golly, Jordan Travis, and you guys know I'm the biggest Jordan Travis fan there is, but he means that much to this team? Well, like, without Jordan Travis, you got no shot?
Well, have good receivers and you can't pass protect, sure. That's
but
you need
some receivers. Is Portier just not going to be a guy? Is Williamson not going to be a guy? Again, they've been here for 2 years now, too, and they do jack squat.
They played in that game.
And don't do nothing. I mean, at some point,
all missed evaluations.
Are they not getting developed?
Coaching.
Are they not getting
the redshirt freshman that had a COVID year last year?
And they have not had the opportunity to go.
So when is it okay to say that they're not going to be good this senior year?
I just don't think
you
can say definitively right now about almost any of them.
I feel like a redshirt freshman that has played for two seasons should be able to get on the field with this receiving core.
I think that this will be the first class that plays out normally that we've seen them have coming up. They have not been able to take advantage of the early sign. We haven't, what a nightmare this has been, right? All the first-year coaches that you saw around the country, that first class they signed was terrible. Most of them were not having success. Then you had the COVID year last year. I knew we were going to get to a place with frustration. I don't mean us three. I just mean in general. You can sense this amongst the fan base because nobody likes to suck. And nobody wants to sit around and wait the 2 to 3 years minimum that it's going to take to see the kind of progress that they're aching to see. I think that we've seen progress. If you look at, I know people can roll their eyes, but if you look at S&P+, this is a top 50
team.
All three of us would agree on this. They're a better team this year than last year.
100%.
A much better team.
It's not close.
They're making a lot of progress. They're just not where they need to be. And it's going to be a while. They're not going to be great next year, guys. They're not. I don't think they have the requisite depth of talent to be great next year. Could they be good to average? Maybe. Maybe they could. I mean, it's a down ACC. You can be a 7-win team next year. Yeah, you could do that.
We thought coming into this year that because of the transfers they brought in on defense and because of we thought there was going to be much better quarterback play, that 6-7 wins was
6-6 good, is what I said. Good goal 7-5, a lot of people. Yeah, did.
You didn't get good quarterback play. It's just Mackenzie Milton didn't turn out to be what they thought he was going to be. And Jordan Travis, I think there's a couple of issues there. I think there's the issue of him dealing with the Mackenzie and the way the fans cheered for Mackenzie and all that. I don't think that went well. And I also don't think Jordan advanced as much as they thought he was as a passer. So they've had to kind of readjust to what he can do
I think that's accurate.
And they got to a point where they're playing pretty well. They won the 3 straight games. Then they lose to Clemson, which to me, man,
I don't blame them on that.
You go into the next game without Jordan Travis and several other guys.
That loss was
sick,
very predictable.
And NC State's a better team. So to me, like these last 2 weeks, I don't know if you won 3 straight games and you felt pretty good about things. Losing 2 games, you probably thought you were going to lose even before the season or early in the season for sure. I don't know how that's like, this is the end of the world. This is all a disaster.
I don't think it is. I think it's a very vocal minority.
Yeah, I do think, though, and my point is you are right to criticize that if you lose your starting quarterback, your offense just goes 7 and out in the first half, can't move the ball, only gets past midfield once.
That's where
you got.
I mean, that is where they're
at. Well, then again, that's part of it is you don't got anything better than Mackenzie
But
Milton.
Don't you think the problem is the 2 years before that they didn't sign a quarterback? Isn't that more the problem than, hey, these two kids you guys signed 18 months ago, In one year was a COVID year.
I mean,
those guys aren't ready
look
to lead you against
country,
NC State, against one of the best defenses in the country.
I look around the country. There are other redshirt freshman quarterbacks in a COVID year that play and can beat out Mackenzie Milton.
and go into a situation that's a bit better.
And have better receivers. Like, the receivers not good.
But these two guys don't have better receivers.
I know,
and they have
again,
this offensive line.
Doesn't that fall on the coaching staff at some point?
But some of those redshirt freshmen might be going into a system, like Jeff's trying to say, that's already established. Like,
right.
It's one thing to play as a redshirt freshman in a better system, in a better, like, a team that hasn't had three coaches in 4 years.
I get people bring up Mel Tucker all the time, who I think is a great story, and that's an awesome season they're having. Mel Tucker came in, and obviously during the COVID year, they weren't good. And then this, his first real season, if we will, if we're going to judge it by the same thing, they're having a great year, right? And he brought in all those transfers, and they're trying to do the same thing here. That said, he wasn't replacing a coach who replaced a coach and then replaced, you know what
within
I'm saying?
Three,
like,
yeah, 3 years.
When you have three staffs in 4 years, you're effed. You blow up your entire roster. Think of all the departures. Think of all the people that Willie signed that aren't here or that can't play.
Yeah,
and then you come in, and within a month you've got to sign your first class, which really doesn't even hardly count, because who are you really getting at that point? You're not getting guys. I mean, you're not going to get
any players.
Well,
the next class was a COVID class.
Right.
I mean,
so,
I got it. But
so they don't have good players. They don't. And I think that they're pretty well coached. I think you would agree with that.
I don't know. Certain positions might not be very well coached. But overall, on the whole, yes, they are a well-coached team, I think.
That adjustment at halftime, which leads to this even being a game, is surely a sign of really good adjustments. A really good coaching staff figures out a way to compete in a game in which they have no business competing.
Yeah.
And Norvell said during he didn't say it to us during the press conference, but Monday night on his coach's show, he said basically that they really hadn't even worked on that with the offensive line. Like, that wasn't something, going with the wider splits and some of the things they did, it wasn't something they've done a lot in practice.
No.
It was, hey, let's try to come up with
something.
Hey,
we got to do something. Yeah. We're getting beat 14-0. We can't move the ball.
So they were surprised? Like, they were surprised they couldn't block NC State with McKenzie Milton at quarterback?
I think they were.
All right. That seems odd to me.
Well,
I mean, it's what
they do. You haven't run on anyone when McKenzie Milton's your quarterback.
I also think there were some opportunities to run the ball, and the running backs didn't play well.
They didn't run hard in that first half. I don't know if we can say that about Trayshawn. What, did he get two carries? But it didn't seem like Corbin was himself in that first half. But also, it shouldn't be a huge surprise that when McKenzie Milton back there, you're not going to be able to run the ball on NC State.
Sure.
No, they can't run the ball on anybody if McKenzie's back there, unless it's Notre Dame and they're up by 18 and they decide to play soft.
Yeah. Or UMass.
Yeah, or something like that. So that's where you're at.
Are we on YouTube now?
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah, they're getting to hear it.
Thanks, Matthew.
Oh, Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
I do think if they're healthy at all going into this game, there's a chance you're in it in the fourth quarter yet again. I know we're setting up for heartbreak. Miami comes in.
Everybody's in it in the fourth quarter against Miami.
Everybody is. Yeah, 33-30 against Georgia Tech.
Have you guys watched them much?
Yes, like, I have.
Yeah, I went back and watched the last couple of games. And that Miami-Georgia Tech game, there should have been the Benny Hill music.
Yeah,
I mean, where they're turning it over back and forth.
Dude, the one turnover from Knighton where
he just
throws
it and the guy catches it on a dead run.
It looked like a lateral, like they'd worked on it all week. Get on the highlights.
No, I know. Hey, look at Khalil. Man, thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate the contribution to
Wow,
Seminole
Khalil.
Headlines.
All right, man. Thank you, buddy. He is a pillar. He has become a pillar of this of War Chant TV.
Yeah. He writes, we can say fire Dugans, but how long has he gotten to really get some guys in here? Got here in 19, made do with what we had there at wide receiver was solid, nothing crazy, but then he goes into 2020, COVID staff change. He's got some dudes seriously considering FSU now. Well, we were just talking about during the break.
Get them.
recruiting is everything right now. I mean, we can talk about adjustments or play calls or whether or not to go for it on fourth down or not, but we're really just kind of spinning our wheels. Hey, so it's about players.
Hey, go watch. We were just talking about Miami and, like, watch their offense. And everybody's talking about the quarterback. The quarterback's playing great, and he's got everybody else confidence. But, man, those dudes make catches.
Yeah.
Like, they go up and make catches, and then they take off when they catch it. Like,
there's a couple players is what you're saying.
When you watch the receivers on that team or some other teams, and now that's the problem. You're going to see them on the other side of the field this Saturday. But you watch other teams, the receivers make plays. It changes everything. I mean, like, this offense is – man, it is such a slog.
Well, yeah,
even if Jordan's out there.
Well, that is the problem. I mean, they have to be one-dimensional when Jordan's out there. It's the best dimension they have, and he is unique at running the football. But, again, that's the argument Corey and I have had. I think we're actually more in agreement than we're not. It's that even still, even though he does without question give you the best chance to win, he doesn't throw it well enough for teams to have to play you honest. And it's a good thing he can run his ass off and make you miss in a phone booth. Because otherwise, this offense does zero.
Well, and moving forward, what I wonder about, again, next year, is that we can't assume Jordan Travis is going to play 12 games.
Never.
It just ain't happening. It's not going to happen.
No.
Who's the backup? Do you have to completely change your game plan? Are you going to make Jordan Travis fit what you want to do? Or are you going to fit your offense around Jordan Travis and what he does? Because then when he inevitably gets hurt or sick, what do you do with A.J. Duffy or Rodemaker?
But don't you think that's what happened this year? I mean, if we go back to the beginning, I think they thought, because of what they had seen in practice, and this is a misevaluation, I think they really believed he had made the progress as a passer to where he could
but
do
I
it in games.
But I understand why.
I
he saw those
too.
Practices. He looked so much better.
Right, 100%. But they couldn't simulate what it was going to be in games for whatever reason. So you get in games, and he's not throwing the ball that way against Notre Dame.
Not at all.
But you've worked on that offense, and you think McKenzie's gotten through pretty well through preseason. Yeah. He had a couple times where he wasn't feeling great, but I think they're hoping that he's going to get better. Then they get into the season and realize, okay, well, that's not going to work. This guy's not as healthy as we thought he was going to be, and this guy's not reading it the way we thought he was going to read it. So now we've got to change it. So you spend the next six, 7 weeks getting better into that offense,
and then
Travis goes out. And McKenzie starts. So, I mean, I just think that's
what I wonder about
next
year.
And that's
where
I think Tate might have a shot in – like you said, if you get into a real, you know, a real offense, I mean, and that's going to be the challenge. If that's on these coaches, to your point, you can't go into next season as the Jordan Travis show,
right? Because that's what it is now. It all hinges on him, and that's not a good
place to be.
Because
Clemson took him away; they were done. He didn't play against NC State.
There'll be three teams every year that have the capability of just taking him away, and then you're going to lose those games. I've said this before; I'll say it again. I would get a quarterback in the transfer portal after we get Duffy
Tell AJ, what are you talking about? We're not looking at anyone.
Yeah, I'd get Duffy on campus, get him to sign, and I would, if I could find, what if I found one that fits? I'm not just taking anybody. I don't want Spencer Rattler.
You're not getting Hornibrook.
If it's a young guy.
To me, if it's a young quarterback, it's got to be a super duper star to where if AJ says, you know what, cool, I'm out,
then you're okay.
Then you're fine.
You're like, all right, well, peace.
If it's not a super duper star, it needs to be a fourth or fifth year guy. Like a
guy
that you only get a year or two and maybe good. There's going to be a better chance you have a proven guy for like 1 year, and you can explain that to Duffy. Look, man, you need to redshirt anyway.
Yeah. You don't want you playing behind this offensive line right now anyhow.
Right. You are going to beat out Jordan Travis anyway, so redshirt, and then you can play next year.
No, I would do that. I would, and I've said that all year long. I would find somebody in the transfer portal if possible. I mean, it's not always that easy. You can't just snap your fingers and be like, oh, look, we got a guy. I mean, if the right fit is out there and they want to come, then I would certainly entertain that idea. They've got a lot to do in the transfer portal.
Yes.
I mean, if you're trying to get to 7 wins, 6 wins next year, you need 2 offensive linemen, you need 2 wide receivers, you need some linebackers.
I mean, look, they're close to 6 wins this year. They're not going to get there, but you know, they lost, what, 4 games in the final possession? I mean, they're a better team. They're a 6-win team that's been a little, not unlucky. They haven't been unlucky, but they've given themselves a chance to get to 6 wins. It's not like they have to have an incredible influx of talent just to get to 6 wins. They are a 6-win-ish team right now, according to our guys at S&P, which
is
what you care about.
Yeah, top 50.
I mean, it would help if the scoreboard at the end of a game would show them winning it.
Well, the cataclysmic mistake that they made that they absolutely could be ripped for was the approach in the Jacksonville State game. If you don't have that loss, you're sitting with 4 wins right now with a chance to get a win against Boston College would be 5 wins. Who knows? Maybe who knows if Florida even wants to play?
And that's what
I'm saying, we just keep
coming back.
Yeah.
That disaster has really shaped.
You can't get mad. Looking back at the season, now that we know what we know now, you can't get mad about losing to Wake Forest.
Can't get mad about Notre Dame.
You can't get mad about Notre Dame.
Those two teams are like 16-2.
Louisville should have been a coin toss. You definitely should have played as ugly as you did
that
the first half.
That first half was a nightmare.
But then you beat North Carolina, so you kind of got it back.
And you can't get mad about losing at Clemson. You can be mad about the way it looked, and you can't get mad about losing NC State when half your team has the flu and you don't have your starting
quarterback. Well, you lost as an underdog in both situations. So
the Jacksonville State game kills you.
It kills you. And it was a terrible approach and mistake.
You'd be 4-5 right now.
Staff. Yeah. And you're allowed to say that. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They've made mistakes. But they're not. That mistake was reprehensible. Do we think they're getting better? Are there ways in which we can prove they're getting better? Yes, I think that's true. You'd like the record to be better. We all would. They're not going to get there until they get better players. You got to get the kind of competition in practice where there's a depth of talent going to war every day for the right to play.
Hey, I'll tell you.
And then get 10 guys in the portal, probably 8 to 10.
Yeah. I bet. Yeah. The one thing, and the other thing,
get you 6 starters.
And this hit me recently. I think it hit me earlier in the year, but I think I lost track of it. But it hit me again this week. If you get better players, once you get into a part of a program like where you've been recruiting for several years, now you get better looks in practice because your scout team's decent.
It's terrible. Oof. That defense.
I mean, they're not getting any kind of a look.
They get no look. Like, they're probably in shell shock on Saturdays when they see a real team.
I was watching today, and it's like, you know, so Geno English is playing the part of quarterback of Van Dyke, which is fine. I mean, he's okay.
Yeah. Did he put pants on and talk of the walk around?
But, you know, you've got a walk-on running back playing Jalen Knighton. It's going to be a little different when Jalen Knighton's out
there.
He's
probably faster than Jalen Knighton.
You got walk-on receiver. You know, I think it was – I can't remember exactly. I think it was a walk-on playing the part of Rambo. And I mean, you're not getting –
So you're talking about walk-on receiver is not going to be able to replicate Charleston Rambo?
But, think about in 13 when Florida State was getting ready for Auburn. I mean, we know he didn't end up having a great career, but their scout team quarterback was John Franklin.
Right. Who was an elite athlete.
Who was faster than Nick Marshall. Yeah. So he gave you the look you needed to have. And I think they used Kermit on some scout team
stuff,
too.
It's a big point that you're making, because I've talked about this a lot with my dad. He gets so frustrated, and I say...
John Franklin III, I think. I
he was
clarify.
Third, you're right. Okay.
And I say to him all the time, like, Dad, can you imagine? They're not getting anything of a look in practice on a daily basis at all. First of all, their starting offense isn't very good, let alone the scout team offense, you know? I mean... They can't. I mean, that's tough.
So that's
and
another
these receivers certainly don't match up against our DBs in practice at all.
So as you get through a practice, I mean, as you get further into program, you think that, you know, those things get better. Can we hash out 4th and 4? Can we?
So let's do it again.
We got to do it again.
Just
we
I got one
it,
more
we
approach.
We did it on Sunday.
I got one
smash.
More approach.
We talked.
I thought
y'all.
I got one more approach.
I thought you guys agreed with
but
each other.
But you're not really in agreement.
Oh, I'm not in agreement at all. But
so
you guys
can we hash
agree?
It out? Can we hash the last next thing? I've got a way that I think I might get Corey to convert.
I don't need Corey to convert. He's wrong all the time.
I want
to keep moving
him.
Forward.
And the masses. I want Corey and the masses to come over to our
They're
side.
They're never going to come over to your side.
What's your
stuffy?
All right. Okay. Let's play out.
We're gonna do it.
Let's tease.
We're gonna tease the 4th and 4 from the 14-point loss.
More screaming at each other after this.
For the 7th time, we are going to vet that 4-4 play, everybody. It's coming up next on Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
I gotta be careful with this mic. Every time I touch it, I think it's gonna come crashing down. Be freelancing out here. All right, so we were talking during the break, and we certainly teased it headed to commercial that we were gonna go back over again the 4th and 4 decision. Corey doesn't think they should have gone for it. Ira does. I do too.
I don't think any of us are adamant like this is losing. The absolute dumbest thing, or this was the absolute smartest thing.
100%,
right. 100%. People do love to do absolution. Yeah, that's not true. Right. We're not there.
I got my notes out, Iris. So go ahead.
I just want you to know, and there are a multitude of websites to do this, but it's kind of funny. You can go to, like, for example, rbsdm.com. So just so people know, I'm going to get the backdrop, and you pick whatever site you want. There are some that cater solely to college, whatever. And when these coaches who use services and also believe in and buy into, you know, analytics.
As a tool
for helping make a decision, not ultimately make the final decision. Understand that it's advanced to a place now where it considers an awful lot. It's not just time, score, distance. There's a lot more involved. They look at yards per play, what you've done up to that point, your overall efficiency ratings, everything, okay? So just for an example, I pulled one up during the break just to show Corey. because I know he's never looked at anything like this.
Right.
Right.
So it's got time, quarter, situation, yards to go, minutes left in quarter, yards from opponent end zone, seconds left in the quarter.
Whether Mackenzie Milton's your quarterback.
Doesn't have that.
Okay.
Score differential. Offensive timeouts remaining. Defensive timeouts remaining.
I love you, Mackenzie, by the way. I appreciate you working hard and playing hard for this team. It's just you're not who you were, but it's not your fault. I'm not really trying to take shots at you.
Did you get the opening kickoff or not?
Oh, geez. All right, that's too much.
Additional seconds to run off the clock after successful conversions, and how many successful conversions have you given up on defense? So this factors into whether or not you think you can get the ball back. Right. So it factors all this stuff in. Right.
So that's... to me, the crux of the whole argument, and the reason I did want to bring it up again, is because I do want to flesh it out, because what I've heard a lot of is it was an imbecilic decision to go for it. Like, that it was crazy. This guy maybe shouldn't be our head coach.
The actual analytics said you should go for it.
And so let's flesh out what would have happened if they punted. All right? So they're at the 43. They punt the ball. Where does – I'm not saying best case, what you hope, what you fear – about 10 to 15, I'm thinking.
Okay. You could get it down to the one.
Could.
Also could.
If you had NC State's punter.
You could also punt it out of bounds.
Well, Mastromano had a couple good ones. I'm just saying.
That's possible. Or you could have punted into the end zone and at the 20.
Man, so I would have been him hitting a 57.
Can we agree 10 to 15?
Yeah.
Sure.
Somewhere in the 10 to 15.
Mine's less about where they have it.
Probably about 10. So they get the ball. What happens? What's most realistic when NC State gets the ball with 8 minutes to go? What do they do on that drive? Is it more likely they go three and out, which they've only done 3 times in 13 possessions? Or is it more likely that they get at least one first down?
I would say probably two. I think in the 3 drives before that, they had gone three and out. They had gotten one first down, and they'd gotten 2 first downs. But the one that they got a first down on, they actually lost yardage on that drive because of the sacks.
Right.
So they had gotten in their 3 previous drives a total of about 29 yards.
So the drive
– one ended up being a 5-play and a 7-play.
Yeah. So one of the drives, they got 2 first downs and took up 4 minutes. The other drive, they took up 3:15, 3:20, and they got 1 first down.
Yeah.
So let's just say they got 1 first down.
So they're punting from the 26.
So they're punting from the 26. Right. Okay.
Now, with Thunderfoot.
Yeah, but you got.
So you're punting from the 26.
Pokey back there.
So you're punting from the 26 now, probably with like 4 or 4.5 minutes left. Where do you get the ball?
Yeah,
assuming you field it.
Probably.
Assuming by some miracle of God, your punt returner catches
probably
the punt.
Probably the 20, 25. All right, maybe. And then you got to get.
And
you're not
go
even
back
at the 43 yet.
So, yeah. All right. So you're with 4.5 minutes left, you're at the 25 or so, and you've got the ball first down. Is that a no-brainer better decision than fourth and 44?
That's what I'm saying. That's
why you're not entrenched in the argument.
But I think a counter to that is, I think Norvell kind of got off the hook a little bit that Akeem Dent gets pancaked. What if Akeem Dent goes and makes that tackle?
If they kick a field goal, you're right.
If he goes and makes that tackle, they still got the first down. Right. And now the game is basically over because they just had to get one first down to put the game away.
That's the
difference.
That's the risk. Yeah. That's the risk.
And you do take a risk. It's not riskless.
To me, here's some reward.
But it would have been a 90-yard screen pass if they had run the same play the 10.
Yeah. But here's some reward. That's the risk. Here's some reward. If you convert on 4th and 4, you're at midfield, and you can go tempo. If they punt, you can't go to tempo unless you win first down.
Which
and
they never
who
do.
Knows
yeah,
if they're going to win
I would
first
also
down.
Say,
so now,
though,
if you get that first down, Pokey catches that pass. Jordan Young runs the route right. Pokey catches that pass. You're first down midfield, and you can go tempo. Man, you got a chance.
That's
all I'm saying. There's risk. I'm not saying I think it was the best decision. I just think to say
it's not crazy.
Crazy is wrong.
Correct. The extremes of these arguments both are wrong. I would also say that, look, I know some of the counter is, well, you got Mackenzie Milton at quarterback. Well, look, man, you were going to have him no matter what, whether you got the ball back at the 25
well,
or
point.
At the 40.
Yeah.
You have to play with what you have.
I think you said on Wake Up, you're like, well, what are the odds, even if they converted, what are the odds they were going to go
another 50 yards?
Well, what are the odds
better than
25?
They go 75? Yeah, you got to hope for a blocked punt. That's
well,
what we're trying
for.
Well,
you got to hope for a guy missing a tackle or something.
But people
weird.
Are, I think people's, the people who are arguing so vehemently assume the defense is going to get a three and out. They're going to get the ball in midfield. Man, what based on what?
That's an assumption. The defense had played well the last 3 drives. That's what it is. The last drive, it ended with 2 Keir Thomas sacks. So you're feeling good about what the defense has done. But as it turned out, the defense gave up a long pass. What confounds me, though, when it comes to his decisions is, if you go to your little chart right there, aren't you probably supposed to go for it on 4th and 1 from your 36 in the fourth quarter when you're down by 7? He didn't then.
Right, which shows he's not a slave
and
to those metrics.
But what's weird about that is that play, Cam McDonald's wide open and Parchment's wide open on the other side. Like, if I don't understand what you saw in that third and one that you didn't want to go for it on fourth down then.
I think the reason you – and he said as much. The reason he
was worried about possession.
Yeah, he's worried about – he might only get the ball one more time.
But also in the first half, he went for it on fourth and one at his own 34. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of rhyme or reason of him –
You don't believe – you're not asserting – well, there may be some feel, there's but you're feel. Not asserting that it's a haphazard, what the hell, let's do it.
But again, he had four fourth and ones that he didn't go for it, and then he – all around the same area, and then he had one that he went for it.
So I think what would be interesting – and he probably doesn't want to get bogged down into that minutia.
Maybe three fourth
but
and ones. I know they punted three times on fourth and one.
I would like to ask. I mean, it would be great.
He asked him what goes into the decision. He said it's the analytics, but it's also feel.
Right.
And I would have loved what they need at the game.
In a perfect situation, you could sit down and say where he knows you're not coming at him from a standpoint of being critical, but rather wanting to know. And you where you could say, all right, let's take me through the thinking on that play and why you punted here and why you didn't.
I'll say the easier thing to do is to punt. Because you don't get questioned.
Right.
I mean,
he's trying to win the game.
And people are then mad at him for doing it.
But yeah,
people want to be mad.
But people also have they have the right to be mad if they don't think that's the right decision.
No, I'm just saying, but think it through and don't assume the best case was going to happen if it went your way and the worst case happened the other way.
Right. But it's hindsight.
Imagine they don't recover the onside kick. Okay, because if they don't get the onside kick, now they've got the ball with a short field. They go 21-0.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, what the hell
were
you doing?
Why would you do that? Why are you always taking these crazy risks?
You know, 14-0.
Nobody recovers onside kicks. Why would you do
exactly.
that?
Exactly. They haven't recovered an onside kick in 12 years. Yeah, but that was the right decision.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, it's 2009.
People don't recover onside kicks. It's rare.
Why? Florida State doesn't really even kick a lot.
No, but that's a little roll of the dice right there, baby.
Wonder what the game was. Did you look that up? What was the game?
I don't know.
Covered an onside kick.
2009, they should have done it every
probably
game.
Probably South
that
Florida.
I know.
I think in 2009, we used to say they should do it every game.
Yeah, because then they would only be a 40-yard drive.
But I would also say to you that by doing that, by kicking that onside kick, which statistically speaking, they probably should not have done, but they chose they wanted to go for a spark. They got it. The only reason this is a game is because of that decision. You're playing to win the game, man. And sometimes that leads to getting blown out, by the way. And when you try to do that, you could get blown out because the severe repercussions for not succeeding
but in that risk. I think as we move forward, if this program gets to the place we hope it does.
If they get better players, he's not going to have to incessantly
do this.
That's
what I just want a better understanding of his fourth down math.
Right,
because there were three times
buddy,
where
I'm going to give you the chart. I want you to study this tonight.
But there were three times he did not go for it on fourth down.
But we don't know what this chart says. He did not plug in the numbers, buddy.
All those other variables affected.
Yeah.
You know?
Everything is affected. Time, distance,
score. So the drive before, literally the drive before the fourth and four, they had a fourth and one around the same area. They didn't go for it. I feel like you have a much better chance of picking up 1 yard.
But there's less possessions at the time that he chooses to go for it. He's now worried that he's got one more possession.
Hey, during the break, plug in my scenario.
I'm going to plug in your scenario.
And
see if shut the hell up.
It says if you what the probability was.
93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, you're declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
That's us. We got to talk. It's time. Here we go. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate the contribution. He writes, beat Miami. Any ideas for pranking my UM fan neighbor without committing arson?
Well, it doesn't have to be arson, right? I don't know. You could – what's the – you flame – well, because you can flame the poo and have them
stamp that out. That's an old one.
That's old time. That's from my childhood.
I mean, I think you just got to bring up – like, you got to tell him that you just heard on the radio that Nevin Shapiro is actually moved into a house – with Tyler Van Dyke.
Yeah.
And they're starting to look into it. And there's an investigation this week.
Just a little checking around here. Yeah. One thing I will say about this week, Florida State-Miami, I woke up depressed on Monday, and I'm depressed today because this was, for me, and I think any Florida State fan or Miami fan listening for that matter, for the longest time, the epicenter of college football. It was this game. Yeah. It was always the nervous feeling you got in the pit of your stomach as a Noel, and I'm sure the Canes got it too, before these two monsters used to go, you know, 22 guys on the field all playing in the league someday. You know, that was, and I'm thinking back because Gene Williams asked us to put forth our favorite two videos.
Yeah,
for favorite plays.
Yeah, he's going to try to find the videos for that we can do a video for. But the point was, I was like, there's so many to choose from, so many great moments, good and bad, with that rivalry. But I one of the ones I chose was Charlie to Matt Fryer, because I was at that game in the student section, and I was there with eager anticipation and what an intense battle that was, and then seeing Charlie scramble to his right, and I can remember seeing Matt Fryer come open and thinking, I hope he gets it to him, and then he runs away, which is amazing. Those moments were so intense and so exciting, and this game is an afterthought nationally right now, and it's an afterthought amongst the fans right now. That's where I'm sad. I am really sad that that's the place these two programs find themselves in, where this game, which was the best football game in all of college, is irrelevant. It's an irrelevant game.
Is there any chance there's a decent crowd?
Well, judging by last week, no.
Or the week before, or the week before that.
I brought it up on Wake Up War Chant. Explain to me why South Carolina gets 71,000 fans at that game when they're 4-4 and are coming off a 44-14 loss to A&M. And it's South Carolina, who's won jack poo in our lifetimes. Yeah. They suck. They've always sucked. They're talk about an afterthought. That is the ultimate afterthought of a program.
They have some of the best fans in football, without question.
Can Florida State fans kind of try to
We get secondary stuff there to get into.
Well, we don't have to do that, but can they aim to be as good as South Carolina fans, football fans, maybe? No.
But they've actually, South Carolina fans, in a sense.
It's crazy. They've been this way forever.
Right, because of what you're describing, have long been the envy of many programs. It's always been like, why do people continue to support that ass-sorry program?
Yeah, they had 71. That was a real home field advantage in that
nuts.
Game.
Yeah, they care deeply about their sorry-ass program that's going to go out and lose 8 games every year.
Yeah, what I keep reminding myself about this situation for Florida State is it's not just about like Mike Norvell's tenure. Because that's, that to me is like, if you look at last year to this year, we've all seen a lot of improvement. They play hard. They play the right way. I mean, there's a lot to like about this team right now other than the record. But the problem is it's not just these 2 years. And so it's the culmination of
frustrating year after year.
Four, five, six years of just bad football, and it just erodes your fan. And then also a COVID year, which affected some people's habits and how –
You're going to have to get better players. You're going to have to win some games. We'll see it turn around. It's just going to take a while.
It'd be cool if this was a good atmosphere, though. It won't be. It would be cool if it was,
It would be great. And I miss it dearly. And I have a feeling this is going to be the most depressing of the years. Even though I knew what was about to happen to Willie and that team when Miami came to town, that ultimately in the game, that I think in addition to some other stuff, got him fired. This is, to me, it's so depressing because it is a winnable game if Jordan Travis is healthy and you can run the ball. Miami isn't interested in tackling people. They haven't been this year.
Oh, man, their defense is so bad.
At one point, they were last in the country in tackling.
Well, let's talk about this game a little bit because I do think, in going back and watching some of Miami's games, I mean, the quarterback's the real deal. Corey's been talking him up now for 2 weeks. Mm. I've been kind of like, well, we'll see. Now, he's definitely the real deal. Their skill's really good. Their offensive line, they'll max protect to help him out if they need to. But here's the one thing I think that should give you hope. Well, two things. One is, to your point you just made, I think Florida State's offense, if Jordan Travis is healthy, which he appears to be, he practiced Tuesday. I think he'll be full go this week. If the offense can run the ball, which they should be able to, that Miami defense is bad. They don't tackle. They're not physical. It's not a good defense. So that's one thing. The other thing is, this kid hasn't really gotten a big pass rush. He hasn't had to deal with much of a pass rush. Georgia Tech's pass rush is awful. Pitt's got a pretty good pass rush, but their secondary was not any good. NC State. NC State's a good defense. They max protected a lot, and he had some big plays. So I think if they can get pressure on him, now let's see.
Think about
that makes things – we'll see. If he can just take a 5-step drop and get the ball out of his hands, you're in deep trouble.
Well, it'd also be cool to have he hasn't played in front of a hostile atmosphere.
Yeah, it would be nice to see that. I don't think he's going to have to play in a hostile atmosphere in this game. We only have 2 minutes left in the hour before we get to headliner questions. But this is just crazy. Here's Miami going back to September 30th. They lost to Virginia 30-28. They lost to North Carolina 45-42. They beat NC State 31-30. They beat Pitt 38-34. They just beat Georgia Tech 33-30. This is insane.
Yeah, every
like
game.
They are really now. If you think about this, their two losses there are by a combined 5 points. Yeah. They could be 5-0 in conference right now.
Yeah, but
they
also like
could have lost every one of those
like
games.
Nine
they could be
points.
0-4 in yeah. conference right now. It's insane.
Yeah, every single game. Yeah.
By the way, do you think Renegade had the flu on Saturday?
I didn't see the
somebody.
He didn't even rear up.
Somebody's saying it. Maybe it was
tired.
A different one.
Like, and Stephanie's like, "What was wrong with the horse?"
You always watch Kosey.
Well,
he's had a career year.
He's been the best, one of the best of all time.
Yeah,
maybe the best of all time. It's been
he gets
an incredible
lost in the shuffle.
And then he runs out, doesn't rear up, then he's not on the sideline at all the rest of the game.
He
might have been a different horse.
Yeah, I think the speculation on the message boards has been that it was a different horse. The other one was ill or whatever. Maybe had the same
flu. Everybody sitting around here.
I didn't know it spread to horses.
That one was spooked by the crowd and the fireworks and everything.
They were that's it. Get him off the field before he kills somebody.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe that's why they lost.
Headliner questions forthcoming. Stay with. We'll be back in a moment.